It was a dark and stormy night in Reidsville early on May 23rd.
There was a big lightning strike on the roof of City Hall. We had about a section of our brick wall of about 6 square feet that was just absolutely knocked out.
Reidsville City Manager Michael Pierce says the strike blacked out email, municipal Wi-Fi, and the downtown security cameras, including a camera that's pointed at the intersection of Moorhead and Scales Streets.
There's a small traffic circle there,
where a marble statue of a Confederate soldier has stood for 101 years.
Apparently a driver had fallen asleep.
He drove up onto the traffic circle.
He wasn't hurt, but he drove into the bottom of the monument, and the statue that had been sitting on top of there of a Confederate soldier toppled and broke into about, 30, 40 pieces.
My first reaction was, this is going to be highly controversial.
James Festerman was born and raised in Reidsville. He's the retired police chief and the current mayor.
I recall back in the late 70s there was a move to move the monument, and I know it got very heated and very controversial at that time. And since that time, I've known that some folks in the community would prefer it not be there, and some feel very strongly that it should be there.
40 years later, the statue still provokes strong emotions.
When the monument was erected, it was placed here with the understanding that it would remain here forever as a reminder of the honor, valor, and bravery of her sons.
All it is bigotry and just prejudice. That's all it is a symbol of folk hating one another.
Today we are faced with the opposition of some who oppose our history.
Usually, Reidsville City Council meetings draw 6, maybe 8 people. But more than 100 showed up for the meeting last week, and many old wounds were visible.
Growing up in Reidsville, I had to pass that monument every day. I used to go home crying from school because somebody had pushed me off the sidewalk or because somebody called me a nigger. The monument represents to me everything, all the prejudices and racism I experienced growing up here in Reidsville.
My ancestor never owned any slaves. He was a dirt poor farmer, a laborer who worked on someone else's farm for his money. He deserves a place of honor and dignity along all American veterans.
There was a time when Confederate monuments weren't so contentious. Just after the war, many monuments were erected in cemeteries.
Especially at the beginning, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that a lot of people had been killed, and a lot of the bodies never came home.
Tom Vincent is a historian with the State Department of Cultural Resources.
They were buried in mass graves. Unknown. They didn't know their names, just, 700 guys buried in a pit near Cold Harbor, Virginia. Sons and fathers never came home from the war, and they wanted some tangible evidence of their grief.
But over time, things changed. Monuments moved from private, discreet locations in cemeteries to public locations, like the Reidsville Monument. It was erected downtown in 1910. The rhetoric at dedications became more strident.
They increasingly used the speeches at the dedications to justify secession, to justify the fact that they were fighting for states' rights. Sometimes they explicitly say, we were not fighting to preserve slavery. We were fighting to preserve liberty.
In the decades after fighting ceased, those ideas gelled into a justification for the war that's become known as the Lost Cause.
And so the monuments are covered with inscriptions which speak about the unparalleled valor of Confederates and the inherent supremacy or superiority of the Confederate cause.
Fitzhugh Brundage is a professor of history at UNC Chapel Hill. He thinks and writes about the Civil War and how it's remembered. He says the monuments that dot the North Carolina landscape were often meant to convey a meta message of triumphalism for whites.
It's the kind of inverse of that. They must be symbols of white power inherently to African Americans, because the Confederate experience was the cause of only white Southerners and only some white Southerners. And so it speaks to the power that they held. And it spoke to the power that they held not only when they put the monuments up, but their control over public spaces.
Brundage finds it interesting to also consider the monuments that have never been erected, to Unionists in the South, to Southerners who fought to preserve the Union, especially in North Carolina, where there was not consensus about the state's entry into the war and where an anti-war movement gained strength as the war neared its close.
Because I think it's a very sobering story The Civil War looks very different when you realize that it wasn't just a sectional war between the North and the South, but it was a war within families, it was a war within communities, and it was a war within the states of the South, especially North Carolina.
That complexity isn't always evident at meetings like the one in Reidsville. Sherry Blackburn was the only white person there who suggested anything other than putting the monument right back where it's always been. She isn't from Reidsville. Her family is from Tennessee, and Blackburn's ancestors fought on both sides of the conflict. She moved to town 3 years ago and says it's time for healing.
I think it would end if they repaired it and put it somewhere else in the city that wasn't such a prime location that everybody sees every day. I think it would make and I think that's a fair compromise.
Blackburn says she's doubtful there will be a compromise, even though many she's spoken to feel like it's time to move on. But those are not the people speaking up.
I don't know how many times we have to fight this war when we have so many bigger things to deal with. This is dead and done. It's a statue. We have to keep things in perspective. It's a statue.
For many people, though, those statues remain a lot more than metal and stone. Rose Hoban, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.